In order to support our show, we need the help of some great advertisers. And we want to make sure those advertisers are ones you'll actually want to hear about. But we need to learn a little bit more about you to make that possible. So go to podsurvey.com/geist and take a quick anonymous survey that will help us get to know you better. That way, we can bring on advertisers you won't want to skip. Once you've completed the quick survey, you can enter for a chance to win a $100 Amazon gift card. Terms and conditions apply. Again, that's podsurvey.com/geist, G-E-I-S-T. Thanks for your help.
Hey guys, Willie Geist here with another episode of the Sunday Sit Down Podcast. My thanks as always for clicking and listening along. Today's just fun. Today is a dear friend of mine, the master of the Bravo universe, the creator of The Real Housewives, the host of Watch What Happens Live on Bravo, the great Andy Cohen, truly one of the most fun people I know, the best people I know, the most creative people I know, and just a great dude. And I've been on Watch What Happens Live more times than I can count. We were trying to figure it out before we sat down. 20, 25 over the last, I don't know, 8 or 9 years. He has me on a couple times a year. And by the way, used to have me on, as we talk a little bit about, when I was just, you know, I was an early morning cable news host, which I still am, but there wasn't a lot of currency in having me on. But he thought I'd be good on the show, and we always had fun. And he always paired me with a Real Housewife, beginning with Ramona of the Real Housewives of New York. I don't have to tell you Housewives fans that, but since then I've been on with people like, oh gosh, Lil' Kim. We played Pin the Tail on the Willie, as I recall, where she was blindfolded and had to pin things on my body. Did a shot ski with her. Selena Gomez, just about every Real Housewife you can think of. Tiffany Thiessen. I think we slow danced like it was my prom years because, you know, like everyone, I was a fan of Saved by the Bell that she was on, Kelly Kapowski, but I digress. Anyway, just a great conversation, a lot of fun. Andy's got a new book out. It's basically a calendar book. It's called Glitter Every Day, 365 quotes from women I love. So every day you flip through it and there's a new quote from a woman he loves with a little commentary from him under each. So, you know, he's a new dad, new-ish dad. Benjamin, his son, his adorable son, is about 3 years old. His parents, Andy's, Lou and Evelyn, are amazing people from St. Louis, Missouri. Now they spend a lot of time with Benjamin. So he's got the show, he's got the book, he's got everything going on. He's a busy man and just a great guy and a real friend of Sunday Today. This is his second appearance on Sunday Today, the Rare Two-Timer Club. And he carries our big yellow Sunday Today mug with him whenever he goes out for a walk in New York City, gets us a little guerrilla marketing when the paparazzi takes a picture of him. Just great. So I will shut up so you can hear from my man, Andy Cohen, right now on the Sunday Sit Down Podcast.
Andy, good to see you, my friend.
Hey, Willie.
You are the number one brand ambassador for this show, Sunday Today.
Well, because I love my mug.
You've got the mug.
I almost brought it because we are close to my house and I walked over and I was going to bring it. It's in the dishwasher.
For people who don't know, the paparazzi loves a good Andy Cohen shot. So when you walk outside...
when there's no one else around, they know where to find me.
So when you walk outside... you hold the mug, and you're incredibly generous to do that.
I used to walk my dog. Well, I mean, it's not deliberate. I'm not like, oh, let me give Willie some shine this morning. I literally would walk my dog with my tea.
Yeah.
And that is my mug of preference. So there you go.
Do you need a new mug? Can we replace it? Do you need a second mug when one's in the washing machine?
You know what? I'm building a house, and I might need a second mug for that house.
Right.
So, but we'll talk about that down the line.
Okay. You don't want to travel with it. Keep one in each place. Okay.
I want to keep one in each place. Okay. Yes.
We're going to get that for you.
Yeah. Thank you.
You should have backups to your backup. So thank you for being our unpaid brand ambassador.
My pleasure.
So I want to talk about your book in just a minute.
Okay.
Such a fun idea. But let's talk about what you've been up to. I haven't seen you in 18 months in the flesh.
Great to see you.
I've been on Watch What Happens Live over Zoom.
Remotely.
Remotely a couple of times.
Yeah.
What's the past 18 months been like for you? Obviously, you got a little guy in your house.
Yes. It's been are we allowed to say it's been great? No. How has it been? It's been...
the time with your son has been great.
The time with... you know what? The pandemic, actually, for me, has been okay. I have been able to work during the entirety of the pandemic, of which I feel very grateful. And then I've gotten to spend an inordinate amount of time with my son that I never would have gotten. And that's been, frankly, incredible, especially as a single parent, to be able to really... I try to spend as much time, obviously, as possible with him, but I feel an extra weight on me as a single parent
sure.
to really let him see that I'm around.
Yeah, and we... I mean... partly by force, but we've had that opportunity for the last, during the pandemic.
Yeah.
I feel that way too. You feel guilty in some ways saying this has been a blessing in disguise, or at least a silver lining, which is that I have been home, forced to be home, but I've been there for all this stuff for now a year and a half with my kids. So it's okay to say that part of it at least has been okay. As long as I've known you, you've talked publicly and privately about wanting to be a dad sometime down the road.
Yeah.
And now you are.
Yeah.
How has the reality been compared to those expectations?
It's actually been an easy ride so far. I mean, it's been, you know what? It's been all right. I thought that it was going to be completely overwhelming. And I actually feel like he has been trying to make it easy on me a little bit. And he's a good guy. He's very nice. He's very sweet. He's becoming a threenager. Is that the term?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So that just started last weekend. And so that was interesting. We were supposed to have a movie night Friday night, and I was so excited about it. But he then started to show his will, and I had to take the movie away. And guess who was the real loser in that? Me. Because I was then screwed on a Friday night. I was like, what am I doing?
Right. Now you got 2 hours to fill.
Exactly. I was actually more upset than him that I took the movie night away. So I'm not sure what lesson was taught.
That's the dirty little secret I didn't know going to parenting. The terrible twos has the big branding.
It's the three.
It's the three.
Yeah. I'm
by a long shot. Sense. They're verbal, they have opinions, they're moving around.
Yes.
What's he into, like, in terms of movies, and what's his
You know name? What? I have been really, he has not watched much TV or movies just until this summer. And so what he's really into right now is Sesame Street.
Great.
Which is great. And I let him watch it on the weekends. It's his treat. No TV during the week. And I will say, I screen an inordinate amount of Housewives, and he's always coming up to my desk while I'm watching, and I'm like, no, you are not watching this. You are not watching this. He saw me grilling Erica Jane on a Housewives reunion the other day. He's like, Daddy? I'm like, yes, but no. Yeah.
Someday he'll learn what his father's doing behind that computer.
Yes,
when he goes to work.
Yes,
right?
He certainly will. Yeah.
So it sounds like you guys have had all this bonding time, and being a single parent, like you say, has its challenges.
Yes.
How do you navigate that part of it?
Just one day at a time. And luckily, I have several jobs, but all of them allow me to be in and out of my home all day. So weirdly, I am almost always around for breakfast, lunch, and dinner with him. So that, to me, is that's a great amount of continuity for him, where we get to see each other. I just think time is the thing. And so I've been very lucky during the pandemic to be able to see him. And I, you know, it'll be interesting. Now, New York is thumping in a sense. Mm-hmm. And I'm anxious to be part of the thump. And so I think he's... I keep saying, you know, my show is going back to live with an audience. So I keep saying, Daddy's going to work, Daddy's going to work. And so we brought him to the clubhouse last week because I wanted him to see that there was a place that was work.
Right.
And he quite enjoyed it.
Does he have any sense for what you're doing when you go to work? I mean, a kid doesn't know any difference. So he thinks, oh, this is where dads go.
Yeah, he just knows. He walked into the clubhouse, and he had been there as a baby, but he hadn't been there in 18 months. And he was like, whoa. And I forgot that the shelves are basically all toys.
Right.
And he's like, this? He wanted to take it. I'm like, that's taped down. You can't have that. It's not a toy.
Don't touch Julie Andrews' teabag.
Yes, he was trying to get to Julie Andrews' teabag.
No, 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 no.
Funny that you say that. Yes. That's Tamara's implant he was trying to get to. Like, this is not a toy. This was in someone.
These are not the things most dads have in their office.
No.
So the show, when I did it a couple times on Zoom, you're always very kind to invite me to have it. Still a blast with
you. Well, you know, Sunday Today is always celebrating an anniversary.
Yes.
There is always an anniversary to be celebrated at Sunday Today. 100 episodes, 5 years,
yes.
25 weeks doing something. There is always an anniversary, I find. Am I wrong?
And that's why I have you here today. I'd like to book myself for the 5.5 year anniversary.
There's always...
It's coming up fast.
Yes. You guys love a milestone.
Anything to get on your show.
I mean, I appreciate it. But I do feel like this is an organization that loves to gather around a milestone.
We got some... For our 5th anniversary, we got some celebs to congratulate us. Uh-huh. Ryan Reynolds did one. He said, happy 5th anniversary. That's... It's not that big a deal, actually.
Right.
Why am I doing this video?
Right.
His reaction.
Yes.
So what was it like for you to, because we all experience this in one form or another, to do that show over Zoom? Because so much of that, anyone who's been in that clubhouse, is the crackle of the back and forth.
Right. It was weird. It was highly efficient, which I loved.
Yeah.
We are doing the show at 1:30 in the afternoon, and we will be done at 1:55. And then you can go about your day. So it felt fake for a long time. And I was doing my own makeup to horrible results and really not seeming to care for a very long time what I looked like going on television. I didn't monitor what I was putting out there.
Too much, too little?
Everything,
what was the problem?
Yeah. Everything. Didn't care. Just was like, once I did the show I was doing it from my office for a big chunk of time and had left the Grateful Dead play for the entire show. And they called me after the show and said, we're detecting music. I said, oh, I left the Grateful Dead channel on for the whole show. They're like, we're going to hope no one notices. And I believe no one noticed. So there was my show is already homemade, as it were, but it was real scotch tape. And I was shooting my own cold opens. I have a disco ball in my house. I shot every angle of the disco ball, you know, and I shot the cold opens at night. So I was starting to get really creative. And of course, I was, you know, I might be an edible in when I started shooting the cold opens. And it was, and I would send them to my team, and they're like, boy, you really, they're like, keep trying.
That one was a little too strong
for
on the air.
You're a little too hype.
Yeah. I think I sort of sympathize with that. We all got a little too comfortable with our home studios, what we're wearing on the bottom, what we look like. I stopped,
Who was wearing anything on the bottom?
Not a lot.
Yeah, no.
What'd you do, shorts and flip-flops?
I was barefoot. I wore, I did it out in the Hamptons for 4 months, and I was in, I would jump in the pool and then be in a wet bathing suit. I'm going to skip the makeup today. It's fine. I was a runaway train.
At what point did you say, all right, we need to go back to the studio? I can't wait to see my audience again.
Well, there was a slow, basically, I think we were last. Everyone was kind of going back, and I was like, really? Then I was like, okay, it's fall weather. I'll go back. And then I was enjoying being back in the studio because, again, we were taping in the afternoon, and it was a solid half hour in and out. Mm-hmm. Which is fun and efficient. Getting the audience back was a big deal. And now that the audience is back and the guests are there, it's what we're supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, this is why we do it. So I'm very happy to be back.
As I said, you've been very generous to have me on that show. I don't know how many times.
Many 20, anniversaries 25 times. To celebrate.
Including well before there was a Sunday Today.
Yes.
When I was a cable news co-anchor, and you put me on that show. And that honestly,
you still are a cable news.
I am, anchor. I am. Yeah. But then now we've added the anniversary shows for Sunday Today.
Yes,
but that was a huge deal for me. Honestly, I don't know if we've ever talked about this publicly, but it exposed me to a new audience. It was incredibly fun. It showed me what TV could be. It's still the most fun you can have anywhere.
Thank you.
So when you're in that studio, you've created such a space. What is the magic of that show to you? Why do you think it's taken off the way it has?
I think it is. I think people respond to the authenticity of the show. I think that God knows I screw up every episode. The audience the audience is drinking, the guests are drinking. It's a loose atmosphere. And Anthony Anderson was on recently, and his mom was behind the bar drinking Bailey's and Hennessy,
ooh,
which I didn't even know was a combination.
No.
And the show was at the bar for the whole show. And I was like, I had Jim Gaffigan and Anthony Anderson on, who are both very funny, but we moved the show to Mama Doris behind the bar. And so we'll go where the fun is. We lean into the fun.
Right.
If we spill a cake on the floor, it's about the cake. We follow the action. And I think people respond to that idea that they don't know what's going to happen. The guests can wind up hating each other. Mm-hmm. We've had guests who literally, you can see them on the air that they hate each other. And the audience then starts, chiming in. And it's fun.
You know what else is true about that show? It's a little like Howard Stern, where by stepping into that studio, you're agreeing to something.
You are submitting to my tomfoolery and my messiness, and you are now you are on the witness stand about your life.
Right.
And so here we are.
And the thing that where a publicist on another show would say you can't ask about that does not seem to apply on your show.
Well, we don't pre-interview our guests, which is great.
Yeah.
So then we can't... it's less trouble to get into. But, I mean, there are times when people come in and say, listen, I don't want to talk about the fact that I hate X, Y, or Z.
But one of the genius moves you have is you can put it off on the audience. So-and-so writes.
Well, it's true. But we try. Listen, I don't want anyone to leave unhappy.
Yeah.
So.
Casting is huge. You often put me on with a housewife.
Yes. We like
and it's great.
High and low.
Yeah.
We like... big and tall, small and big. I don't know.
Hey guys, thanks for listening to the Sunday Sit Down podcast. Stick around to hear more from Andy Cohen right after the break.
Hi everyone, I'm Jenna Bush Hager from Today with Hoda and Jenna and the Read with Jenna Book Club. There's nothing I love more than sharing my favorite reads with all of you, except maybe talking to the exceptional authors behind these stories. And that's what I'll be doing on my podcast, Read with Jenna. I'll be introducing you to some of my favorite writers. These conversations will leave you feeling inspired and entertained.
To start listening, just search Read with Jenna wherever you get your podcasts.
If you ever needed to be persuaded that bad things can happen anywhere, then take a journey with us.
From compelling mysteries to in-depth investigations, our Dateline episodes are available as podcasts.
Follow Dateline NBC now to get new episodes every Tuesday. To listen ad-free, subscribe to Dateline Premium on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or datelinepremium.com.
Great storytelling with a twist from the true crime original.
Welcome back to the Sunday Sit Down podcast. Now more of my conversation with Andy Cohen.
Let's talk about glitter every day. 365 quotes from women I love.
Yes.
What's the idea behind it?
The idea is just basically in the title. This is a book that you can look at every day, have a little bit of, little splash of glitter thrown on you every day. I love, women have shaped me for my entire life. From my mom to mentors to the housewives to divas and icons. And so this is a quote a day by a woman that I love. I love a lot of women, and they've said a lot of things. And talk about high and low. We've got Madonna to Malala, Dorinda Medley to Kamala Harris. I mean, it's all over the place.
It's funny you say that. I'm going to jump ahead because I thought this captured you perfectly. On one page, we have a quote from Anne Frank.
Yes.
As I turn the page, Countess Luann.
Thank you.
That's Andy Cohen in a nutshell.
It absolutely is. Two women that I respect immensely and who have different things to offer the culture, but valid nonetheless, Willie. This is the world that we live in, by the way.
And never before have been mentioned in the same breath until you just did.
That's correct.
We lead off the book with a quote from the great Evelyn Cohen.
My mom.
Her quote is, "Get a hold of yourself, Andy."
Yes.
What was the context of that?
Well, that is a quote that my mom has used over the years that renders me slapped in the face. Get a hold of yourself, Andy. And I will quite literally get a hold of myself and come back to earth. It is what it's in her arsenal of, you're a runaway train. You got to get it together, basically. It's a very simple sentiment from Evelyn Cohen, but one that I respond to.
It feels like it's something you've heard for a long time.
I have.
Yeah.
I have.
Yeah.
She doesn't, she whips it out when she needs it. Yes.
Your parents are a big part of your private story, but also your public story,
where
they're on the show and the audience loves them.
Yeah.
They seem to be thoroughly enjoying this ride that you
are
on.
They are, but the ride that they are most enjoying is the curveball that I threw them at 50 years old of giving them another grandchild.
Yeah.
Because this was the kid that no one saw coming. Even as the years went on, I would say, you know, I still want to have a kid. And my mom would say, it's not happening. Like, really? Oh, okay. You're flying to LA for a party right now. When are you going to have a kid? So I proved them all wrong. And it's one of the great joys of having my son is watching his relationship with his grandparents who are well into their 80s and who FaceTime with him every night at dinner. Mm. And he gets to have dinner with them and he loves them so much, calls them Ma and Pa. And it is a beautiful relationship that I didn't really get how deep that was going to be before he came along. I just figured they're in St. Louis. They'll see him every time. But this is it's a deep, great relationship, and he loves them so much.
And how lucky, I feel that way too about my parents, that your son will have a relationship with them. He'll know them.
The grandparent-child relationship is so magical. And I remember great times with my grandparents and sleeping over there. Mm-hmm. And they give your kids something that you can't. And it's just so exciting. It's sweet. That to me has been an incredible side benefit from this entire journey.
So Evelyn Cohen's the biggest star in this book. We agree.
Yes. Actually, I should have put her on the cover. I realized.
Oh, she's not on the cover.
No, she's not. Risco didn't do a caricature.
Maybe we fix that.
Yeah.
Some huge names in here. Dolly Parton, Madonna, what's the thrust of the kind of person you want? How did you put this list together?
You know what? It's just women I love.
Yeah.
Strong, powerful women with something to say. So that could be anyone that has touched me in my life. I mean, I have a quote from my friend Liza in there that I love that is only go, oh, no, when you're a hammer, everything's a nail. We all know people who just create problems in the universe. Mm-hmm. I mean, you famously work with a ton of them on air on NBC News.
Yeah.
Who would you say those people are that you work with?
Across the NBC family of networks?
Yeah.
There's some, we'll talk about it in a second.
But
we'll circle back to it.
Okay, great.
As they say.
So I love that quote. When you're a hammer, everything's a nail. So there are quotes in here to live by. And there are quotes in here to laugh by.
Yes.
And I put a little commentary on every page of my own relationship with the women or the quote or just some thought I'm having.
Yeah, I mean, I just love the, there's too many to list, but you go from Jack Hay to Jill Biden on the same page, you know?
Absolutely.
Like, that's
Jack
the beauty.
Jack Hay to Jill Biden.
That's the beauty.
Two of our beacons of inspiration.
There you go.
Yes.
There you go. Yeah. And is it true that Hoda Kotb gave you the idea for this book, or at least she encouraged you to write it?
Hodes didn't just give me the idea. I basically just stole the idea from her. She had come out with two quote a day books.
Yep.
And I happened to be co-hosting with her during the publication of both books, mm-hmm. I believe. So I spent a fair amount of time shilling Hodes' books. And I thought to myself, what if I did one of these but put my own spin on it? So then kind of halfway through writing it, I FaceTimed her and said, I need to make sure this is okay with you. Like, do you have another one of these coming out? Because I do, maybe in the fall. Is this okay? She's like, write your book, babe, write your book. There's a couple great quotes from Hoda in there.
Yeah, Hoda's in the book.
Yes, of course.
Pay a nice tribute, and you mentioned her in the acknowledgments.
Yes, well, I mean, again.
Central figure.
She inspired this book completely.
It's not, you're not ripping her off. It's a genre. People do this all the time. And by the way, listen, yours speaks all to your point of view.
With all due to Hodes, she didn't invent the quote a day book. I mean, but I did kind of, she was the person that I kind of ripped it from. But yes. So
who in this book would you like to have on Watch What Happens Live who you've not yet had on Watch
who
What Happens Live?
Who in that book wouldn't I like to have
you've
on Watch
You've had some
what
of them, a lot of them.
Yes. No, I mean, I think Michelle Obama. Michelle Obama has done every show but mine.
Now, what's going on
Michelle
with that?
Michelle Obama did The Chew when it was on. I think Michelle Obama has been on CSI. I'm not kidding.
Really?
I think so, or NCIS or something like that. Truly, there almost isn't a show that she hasn't been on except mine. So maybe I should feel good about that.
I don't know what, she can't be afraid of Andy Cohen. He throws his arms open. It's fun.
She's faced tougher than I.
Yeah.
Yes.
Boy, I would love to see that.
Be great.
Right?
Be great. Yes.
Okay, so Michelle is the big get.
She's one of them.
Who else is on there? On your list. You've been at this a while. You get most people you want nowadays.
I mean, you everybody wants Beyonce, but she's not talking. She's not talking.
I find that too.
Yes. Yeah. Everybody wants, who else would I like that's in
we
that
We got
book?
Madonna.
Madonna's never been on.
She
interviewed Madonna. She's never been in the clubhouse.
Oh.
No, she'd be great.
Yeah.
Love her.
Yeah.
So many.
Because Madonna is a North Star for you,
is
that fair to say?
Yes, yeah, she is.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. I love my ladies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's totally fun, and like, you could just peel right through it, and I just, as I say, the juxtaposition of the people in this book, from Real Housewives to Anne Frank, is just, it's too good. It's too good.
Thank you.
Stick around for more of my conversation with Andy Cohen, including his wild ride through 15 years of The Real Housewives.
Join Hoda Kotb for a brand new season of her podcast, Making Space.
For season 5, I am making space to talk to people who are providing a sense of hope and inspiration when life changes course.
Uplifting conversations with inspiring individuals like NFL legend Drew Brees, singer-songwriter Ziggy Marley, and Today Show co-anchor Savannah Guthrie as you have never heard her before.
I found faith more viscerally, not because the bad thing didn't happen, but because it did.
I promise you, like me, will leave these conversations with some wisdom for your own journey, empowered and inspired to make space in your own life.
New episodes of Making Space with Hoda Kotb are released every Wednesday. Listen now wherever you get your podcasts.
Join me, Esther Perel, every Monday in my office on Where Should We Begin? I'm talking to couples and individuals about love and work, about turning conflict into connection. More than ever, our relationships define the quality of our lives. So let's explore the myriad of relational challenges together. See you Monday.
Welcome back to the Sunday Sit Down Podcast. Now, more of my conversation with Andy Cohen.
Let's talk about Housewives.
Okay.
15 years.
You know what?
Can you believe that?
Just watched season 16 premiere of Orange County.
And how do we feel?
It's fantastic.
Yeah.
They got the assignment. Yeah.
Let's go back to like 2005 when you're cooking this up.
Yeah.
You never could have imagined what it was going to become, but what did you think it would be back
well,
then?
Well, in the best, when it started, it seemed like a sociological time capsule of this group of women who were kind of nouveau riche in a gated community in Orange County who spoke to their children in a way that none of us had ever seen. And they were just different. And it was while Desperate Housewives was airing, which right. is how we got the name Real Housewives, because these were the real housewives. And it was a play on real, because of course, much of them wasn't. And so it felt like, I remember Tom Shales from the Washington Post in his vitriolic review of the first episode of The Real Housewives of Orange County, he did say, this is like some sociological time capsule of the nouveau riche. And I thought, well, that is what we were going for. Now, season two of The Housewives of Orange County, we found that Gina Keough was getting separated. And that was when I leaned in and said, oh my God, this is now a soap opera. Mm-hmm. This is Knot's Landing. And This could go on forever. Did I think I would be sitting with you 16 years later talking about it? Absolutely not. Am I thrilled by it? Yes. They have given me and many others inordinate amounts of pleasure. I would not be here where I am today without them. And that's one of the reasons why I thought it was important to include them in this book and why it is a mix of high and low, because there are things that they've said that really ring true to me and a lot of other people that I think are worthy of a closer look.
And I don't think we can even call it a guilty pleasure anymore. So many people watch it.
It's a pleasure.
Just a pleasure for a lot of people across the spectrum.
Yes.
So how has the show, Andy, evolved over the years? So you got Orange County, here comes New York and New Jersey, and you've grown and shown different people and different cultures and different cities.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it has evolved. I have another book out on my imprint called Not All Diamonds and Rosé, which is a oral history of the Real Housewives in its entirety. It comes out in like 2 weeks. And it's great. And you see the evolution of it. I think there was a moment where people started to really realize they were on TV and they could make a moment. And there are some moments that were made that were incredible on television that we thought, how authentic is it that this woman is taking her leg off in Le Cirque and throwing it to make a point? Maybe not an incredible finale for season, I think, 6 of New York Housewives. Uh-huh. But we didn't bring Aviva back the next year because we kind of thought, where do we go from here?
Right.
You've thrown your leg in Le Cirque. Where does the story take us that we could possibly go?
We've been to the mountaintop.
Been to the mountaintop. So I think that we try to lean into the real, and we try to, you know, go away from the performative. But this is a show now, all these years later, where people know they're on television. We're in the middle of two incredible moments. You know, Beverly Hills, something happened with Erica Girardi, one of our housewives, before, you know, as the cameras were rolling, her husband was implicated in a horrible crime. And so we're watching that unfold now and watching the women relate to that and react to that. And that's a real story that's happening. And it's like a mystery that people are tuning in for. And so the thing about it is you can't predict where any of this is ever going to go because it's real. And that's what keeps me watching and that's what keeps everyone else watching. And it doesn't hurt that we put extremely charismatic, sometimes temperamental, always humorous, sometimes volatile women, you know, in a mix and see what happens.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that these shows have been on this long and people are still as dialed in as they were on season one or two speaks to how you keep that alive.
Yes.
Because I guess in real life, it's not going to go away. Life
is explosive. And also, if you look at friend groups, women come in or friends come in, friends go out. They evolve over time.
And you've expanded your audience by the cities you've chosen and the groups of women you've chosen, right?
It's true. I mean, Salt Lake City, man.
Yeah.
Who would have thought? Another curveball. Mormon Housewives. Look into it.
People want to know, to the extent you can talk about it, behind the scenes, I'm sure it must just be, your phone is texts and phone calls from various housewives who have an issue with something that was in the show, how they were portrayed. How do you manage this universe that you've created?
I think that my senses have been dulled over the years a bit. Maybe I'm a little more, you know, I used to look at my dad and think, how does he exist amidst the chaos, the cacophony of this group of overmodulated loud talkers that exists in my nuclear family? Myself, my mother, and my sister. I was like, this man is tuning out this dialogue. And so maybe I've put myself into a neutral gear a little bit. And I think that maybe I'm just gliding through this all like Lou Cohen a little bit now. And, you know, I talk about my mom a lot, but, you know, there's something to be said. There's actually a great quote from Ruth Bader Ginsburg in the book, where she said, sometimes we all have to be a little bit deaf and we choose to hear what we want to hear. And I thought that was such a great quote because it's like, you know, some things matter that you hear, some things don't. Maybe, you know, some critiques that you get, tune it out. Something that someone's yelling about, you think, you know what? They're going to be over it tomorrow. I mean, I'm not going to take this on.
Right.
So, RBG.
So it's a little bit of psychiatrist, a little social work, a little of that.
Yeah. Right?
Just hear them out and let it flush its way through the system.
Yeah.
There are some moments, though, where you can't do that. And I'm thinking about the reunions.
Yes.
Because you are physically in that room.
Absolutely.
And sometimes under assault.
Yes. That is true. But I control the narrative. It's okay. And I think you're talking about Teresa Giudice. That happened many years ago. Oh, that's water under the bridge.
That was a long time
ago. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. No, I mean, we're in the midst of, I really had my toughest interview yet with the whole Erica Girardi, Beverly Hills. It's unfolding right now. Unprecedented 4-part reunion that's happening right now.
Yep.
Because there were that many questions that needed to be answered by Erica.
Isn't it amazing that you've created this universe where it's not just the show itself, but there have to be interviews and debriefs. There's a news cycle about the shows you've created.
It's incredible. I opened the New York Post, and I am amazed at the amount of coverage that these women get. It's really dominant.
Page Six is almost now all.
It's solidly many days, 50% Housewives.
Yeah. Bravo celebrities.
And
all
I'm
the way.
Thrilled by it.
For people who don't know, you started in journalism.
Yes.
At CBS News.
You remain in journalism.
You do remain, as you just described.
Yes.
But you were a hard news producer.
I was.
Working at CBS News. You interned there. You wrote for your school paper at BU.
Yeah.
Do you ever take a minute and say, wow, look how my life has turned. I love that part of my life, but look how things worked out.
I do. I think it evolved as TV news evolved. I mean, TV news became a little softer over the years. And so I think people started to become more interested in personalities. And I think that the definition of what is news has evolved as well. So I walk into a Housewives reunion, and my attitude is, this is news for a lot of people. I mean,
I got to get answers from these people.
Meaningless, of course, but it's a form of news nonetheless. it truly affects no one's daily life.
And yet,
as like the Facebook hearings might.
Right.
But I recognize that it is important to people, and people want me to do a good job.
There's no question about that. Whenever I go on the Watch What Happens Live, I have everyone in my life saying, you've got to know about this and that, right. And that. Ask Andy about this and that. They're just mining for information. They're so invested. So do you have any hints about what's coming next in your universe? Are you creating other things that will excite Bravo fans?
We're cooking something up that I can't talk about right now. Yes.
In the Housewives world?
I think so.
A new world?
Maybe.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, before I let you go, is there an Andy Cohen quote that if you do 365 days of quotes from men you love, is there a word to live by from Andy Cohen?
Happy anniversary Sunday today.
That's an evergreen quote.
That's an evergreen quote.
God, is there a thing you say people in your life would say, oh, that's an Andyism, or that's people really you work question. With?
God, everything that I say, I think, has been ripped off by some woman, frankly. Hold on.
We'll save it for the next book.
Okay. Yeah.
We'll let you think on it.
I have to think of, you know, men are such blockheads. You're not going to get much of a book. But, yeah.
Next time.
Okay. Okay. Thank you.
Thanks, Andy.
Thanks, Willie.
Great to see you.
Happy anniversary. Thank you.
My big thanks again and always to Andy Cohen, my good friend, for a great conversation. Always a good time, whether you're in the clubhouse on Watch What Happens Live or just sitting down talking about his book, Glitter Every Day, 365 Quotes from Women I Love. That book hits stores on November 2nd. Go check it out. Thanks to all of you for listening. If you want to hear more of our conversations with my guests every week, be sure to click follow so you never miss an episode. And don't forget to tune into Sunday Today every weekend on NBC. I'm Willie Geist. We'll see you right back here next week on the Sunday Sit Down Podcast.
He would lie his way into their dreams.
He was looking for James Bond girls.
How fun would that be to be a Bond girl?
Then twist them into a nightmare.
This guy has done this before. He'll do it again.
Until a group of women banded together to put him behind bars and keep him there.
You have to participate fiercely, fiercely in what happens next.
I'm Keith Morrison, and this is Murder in the Hollywood Hills, an all-new podcast from Dateline.
All episodes of Murder in the Hollywood Hills are available now. To listen ad-free, subscribe to Dateline Premium on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or DatelinePremium.com.